You're listening to the College is Worth It podcast, where you'll learn from leaders who are transforming higher education and helping to ensure that a college degree will pay off for this generation and the next. Explore innovations in higher education with us in each episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Justin Gilmar, and you are listening to the College is Worth It podcast. Today, I'm excited to be speaking with Deb Mowey, who is the Senior Vice President for Enrollment and Marketing at Aurora University. Deb has extensive experience in higher education marketing and enrollment management. And on this episode, we talk about what makes Aurora University distinct, including their program for neurodivergent students, and ways they are addressing affordability. We also discuss reviews on how to make sure college pays off, both from an administrator's perspective and from a parent's perspective. Finally, we talk about how college admissions has changed over the years. So with all that, let's get started. Hi, Deb. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you're doing now and about your work at Aurora University.
Okay, happy to. I have spent the last 15 years in higher ed marketing after spending the first 15 years of my career in consumer packaged goods marketing. I'm currently Senior Vice President for Enrollment and Marketing at Aurora University in Aurora, Illinois, second largest city in Illinois. In this role, I lead a team of about 30 enrollment and marketing and communications professionals.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can you tell me a little more about Aurora?
Yeah, be happy to. So Aurora has about 6,000 students. We're a private, not-for-profit institution. And about 4,000 of our students are undergrads, and we have about 1,000 students in our AU online program, and then the other 1,000 are graduate students. We are a Hispanic serving institution. About 55% of our students are Hispanic, which reflects our location. It's a very Hispanic area. We are a Division III athletic school. We have a lot of top-ranked athletics programs. And we have a long history of serving populations who are underserved in higher education. So as I mentioned, we're a Hispanic serving institution. We also just launched a new program called the Pathways Program, which is for college capable students on the autism spectrum, which is really a very underserved population in higher education. And we're one of the only schools in the Midwest that has a program targeted to students on the autism spectrum. And we just opened a new residence hall that was built specifically with the needs of neurodiverse students in mind.
Oh, wow.
And so we're very, very proud of that program.
Yeah,
as well.
That's super interesting. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little more about what led to that program and that and the creation of the dorm?
Well, we're always looking for opportunities to, as I said, to serve populations underserved in higher education. Our president has a particular interest in this group, given some family background, and so it's always been a passion of hers.
Okay.
And so we started looking at it about 3 or 4 years ago, traveling to other institutions across the country doing similar programs. Yeah. Really, there aren't very many, and we wanted to. We wanted to really have an impact with this program, which is where the residence hall came from. Okay. So it was built, as I said, with the needs of these students in mind, although it does house all different, you know, neurotypical and neurodiverse students as well. But in terms of the textures, the types of fabrics that are used, the colors that are used, it's all created with the needs of these students in mind. We have quiet rooms, where they can go, not so they're not disturbed. So it's really, I think, a unique building, and we're very proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. That's really interesting. That's neat. I've never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. So while we're on the topic, what are some of the other things that make AU distinct? Maybe thinking about it just from a brand perspective, you're a branding expert. How do you think about the AU brand and its distinctives?
Every higher ed institution says that they're focused on student success. So that makes it challenging from a communication standpoint, but AU truly is. Every decision we make is made with around the question, does this benefit our students and how does this benefit our students? And if it doesn't benefit our students, we don't do it. So we very focused on student success from the point they come in until the point they graduate and beyond. We meet students where they are. We do a lot of handholding and we provide a lot of individualized support to our students. Our low cost sets us apart. We are the we have one of the lowest tuition prices of any private college in Illinois. So we are a tremendous value. And then we have really built up our focus on student success in terms of career outcomes. So we have partnered with our alumni to create programs to really expose students to different careers and help them understand what they need to do to prepare for different types of careers. Let's face it, the typical college student hasn't been exposed to a lot of different types of careers. They know about doctors and lawyers and accountants, but they really don't know about a lot of careers that are out there. So we bring in every Sunday night, we have a Zoom program where we bring in an alum with a different career specialty to talk about their experiences. And these are not alums who have 10, 20, 30 years of experience. They're alumni with maybe 5 years of experience who are doing really interesting things in healthcare, in finance, really you name it.
Cool. That's very interesting and unique. Thank you. So you are, as we mentioned, you're an expert on higher ed marketing and branding. It seems to me that there is more than ever now a question, narrative, possibly around, hey, maybe college isn't such a good idea. College is too expensive. College is maybe not worth it. Yet, you know, I think those of us who are in the business know that, you know, almost as, well, let me edit, redo. Those of us who are in the higher ed business know that the ROI is still as strong as ever. What are you seeing in the landscape? What are you seeing at AU? What are you seeing across higher ed in terms of how colleges are thinking about addressing these questions of affordability and cost, and is college worth it?
So first of all, let's talk about whether college is worth it.
Okay.
I'm the first person to say college isn't for everyone. And I would never say that every single person should go to college.
Yeah.
There are alternatives out there. I am never going to know how to fix my car. And I am always going to be dependent on auto mechanics who know how to fix my car. Right. And so there are alternate paths to college. But for the typical person who would have considered college in the past, college is still a good value.
Right.
When you look at longitudinal studies that track college graduates over time, you see that people with a college degree make significantly more money throughout their lifetime than people without a college degree. That was true years ago. It's true today.
Right.
So college is, in the grand scheme of things, college is still, quote, worth it.
Right.
It is a good investment. It all comes down to, as you said, it all comes down to the value, which is what are you paying for college versus what you're getting out of it? And that's really where I think the conversation needs to be, is for an individual student, given what they want to major in, how much should they be willing to pay for college and how much debt should they be willing to take on?
Right.
I think there's so much conversation now that college debt is bad.
Right.
And that's just not true. You know, some college debt is good.
Right.
I'll pick on the media for a minute. You know, the media likes extreme stories.
Right.
So the media likes to portray stories of undergraduate students who graduate with $120,000 in student loan debt. Well, that's just not typical. I mean, those stories are outliers.
Right.
Right.
And those students were not, frankly, those students who took on that much debt were not advised well throughout the process. And shame on everybody who interacted with that student and led that student to believe that that was a good idea. The typical student loan balance is more like $28,000.
Right.
And when you look at the payback, the 10-year payback of a, or a, you know, monthly payback of a $28,000 loan, it's really not that much money.
Right.
It's a few hundred dollars a month. And so for someone who has a steady job, that's a very manageable monthly outlay. And so I think that's where the conversation needs to be, is helping ground people in the reality of what we're really talking about.
Yeah.
But then when you talk about an individual student, as I said, you really have to look at how much should you be willing to pay and how much debt should you be taking on given what you want to do.
Right. Right.
So I'll give you an example. My son wants to be a teacher. And, you know, he got into really good private schools. And I would have had to pay $50,000 a year to send him to that school.
Right.
And it's just not worth it to pay that much money. He fell in love with a mid-tier state institution, got really good scholarships because of his GPA, and he loves it, and he's going to come out with the teaching credential that he needs to be able to go and teach. So he will come out with, you know, he'll come out of undergrad really with no student loan debt, so that he could take out student loans for grad school and still be able to pay them back.
Right.
On a teacher's salary. So on the other hand, if you have someone who wants to be an engineer, then maybe it is worth it to take on more debt at a more prestigious brand name school, because they're going to be able to pay it back. So I think we need to get away from this big picture. College isn't a good value. Everyone's taking on too much debt, to really looking at individual situations and encouraging families to do that.
Yeah. I totally agree. You know, one of the ways I think about it is, in almost every case, investing in college, even if you have to borrow, is going to pay off. The one exception to that is if you take out loans and you don't finish college, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I think traps many people, maybe most of the people who have, you know, issues with debt, you know, might fall into that spot, you know, whether they are underemployed or unemployed and don't have the means to pay off that debt without the degree. So I think that's also one of the areas that gets misunderstood a bit. I mean, once you take out that debt, you've got to finish, you've got to obtain the degree so that you have the means to pay for the debt.
Yes. And a lot of what we do at AU is counsel students and families about their how much they're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
And how much they would have to take out in student loans.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of difficult conversations with students and families, particularly students from out of state, who will need to live in the residence halls, possibly need to take out a lot of loans to be able to pay their bill, again, because of being, resident students. And we have really difficult conversations saying, this may not be the best choice for you.
Yeah.
What is your plan for how you're going to pay your bill? Because to your point, we do not want to have students who come for a year or 2 years and take on a lot of debt that they can't pay back, and then not be able to finish school. Yeah. So we say to a lot of students, really, there are great community colleges out there. Your best option is to go to community college for 2 years. We will work with you throughout that whole process to make sure that every class you take will transfer, so that you can come in year 3 and 4 and graduate on time and with a lot less expensive and a lot less debt.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. I think good stuff, good insight. You mentioned your son, and I know you have three kids.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Let's talk about, you know, the same question, but from the parent standpoint, right? So we can we can think about it. We can all kind of relate to the context of, you know, the higher ed administrator, and we are all trying to do the same things and grow our universities and help them thrive. But now, you know, put yourself in the parent seat. How do you think about this? Do you think about it differently at all from a parent perspective when it's you that's writing the check?
Well, I try not to. And in particular, I try not to get caught up in the prestigious brand name conversation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that the college choices that our kids make has gotten sort of wrapped up in as a measure of our competence as parents, right? So it's a way to measure your success as a parent is what schools your kids get into.
Right.
When I graduated from high school, nobody congratulated my parents on my getting into Juniata College, right? Yeah. Because they paid the bills, but I did it. And now it's become this kind of award for parenting.
Totally.
And I get that as a parent. I totally get that. And so I try to keep my administrator hat on when I'm thinking about my own kids, but it is hard to do. It is hard to do. And you know, if you look at it from a brand image standpoint, it makes sense that you want your kids to be able to go to school with a great brand name.
Right.
But you really have to say, okay, let's try to separate the brand name from the actual quality of the education and the value of the education.
Yeah, agree. You know, I am also a parent about ready to send my oldest to college next year. And it really is an interesting perspective, you know, thinking about it from that, you know, that side of things. And, you know, more than anything, I want her to choose the school that's the right fit for her, keeping in mind, you know, ROI and, you know, is it going to pay off? And of course, all the schools that she's thinking about, you know, certainly will. But there's also that parent competitiveness. And
it
mostly is among the parents that drives some of that. You know, it is what it is, but it's an interesting thing to think about. Mostly, you know, I want her to make the right choice for her. And I hope she makes a good career choice. And I'm, you know, trying to help advise her along the way, staying, you know, an appropriate distance. And of course, keeping, you know, our ability to pay for it, you know, in mind. But, you know, at the end of the day, we know it's a great investment. We know wherever she goes is going to be a good choice for her. But fun to think about it from the parent standpoint sometimes.
It is very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I do know about the inside workings of it. As I said before, I'm so glad my son ended up at a place where he loves. He's so happy. And it does happen to also be the least expensive option.
Yeah.
So it worked on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
For us.
Good parenting.
Oh yeah. Let's chalk it up to that.
So you mentioned your undergrad at Juniata. In Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go backwards a little bit? Tell us about your personal higher ed experience. What schools did you attend and how did you wind up there?
Yeah, so I grew up in Nowhereville, Central Pennsylvania. So while my parents had gone to college, I didn't have a lot of exposure to different higher ed institutions because I grew up in a pretty depressed area where not a lot of people went to college. And so my focus was really on schools that were close to home. We just went to a lot of different schools in Pennsylvania, and I had never even heard of Juniata, but we were on a trip out to Pittsburgh to visit a number of schools.
Okay.
And I was asleep in the car, and I I noticed that, like, I woke up because the car stopped and I said, where are we? And my dad said, we're at Juniata College. There's the admissions office. They have a scholarship for left-handed students, which I happen to be left-handed. And so go in and talk to them. And I'm like, you know, just woke up. And so, I went in and everybody I talked to was just so helpful and nice. And the campus was lovely. And I felt at home, and it just was a great fit from the first moment. And then that became the school to which I compared everything else.
Yeah.
I went to one, I will not mention the name, but I went to a very highly ranked institution, and the admission counselor said, every moment that you're here as an undergrad, you're going to hate it. And then once you graduate, you're going to realize what a great education you got. And I was, as a 17-year-old, I was like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So truly, they had a scholarship for left-handed students?
They did. I didn't get it, but they did have a scholarship.
You weren't left-handed enough?
I guess not.
It is funny, you know, as much effort that goes into the college search, right, and making a wise decision, how oftentimes random it can be, mm-hmm. right, and unpredictable it can be, and yet have such a, you know, profound impact on your life, mm-hmm. In ways that you could never have predicted. So, mm-hmm. So you went to Juniata for undergrad, mm-hmm. graduate school.
Yeah, when I was at Juniata, I started out as a chemistry major and changed my major to marketing in my sophomore year, after I just took a random marketing class and fell in love with the concept of marketing. And so I pretty quickly decided that I wanted to be in consumer packaged goods marketing, wanted to be a brand manager. And so to do that, I needed to get an MBA. So I worked for a couple of years, but with the, you know, business school in mind. So because I wanted to do marketing, I said, I'm going to try to get into the best business school for marketing. And at the time that was Kellogg and at Northwestern, and I applied and I got in. So I went to the full-time program and that was the best 2 years of my life, because I had worked for 2 years. And so I knew what the working world was actually like. And then going back to school full-time was incredible.
Yeah. So thinking about your college admissions experience, enrollment experience,
We're going back a ways, so yeah. I don't know how good my memory is, but.
But what are some things that have changed since then from your perspective?
Wow, like everything. First of all, students are looking at a lot more schools. They're looking at more schools, they're applying to more schools.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, great things that have happened, like the introduction of the Common App, that make it really easy for students to apply to multiple schools. Yeah. So students are applying to more schools, which just, you know, simple math means that if you're not expanding the number of seats at any one institution, it's going to make it more difficult to get in. Sure. So there's this, I think, perception that it's hard to get in anywhere, when the reality is it may be harder to get into one institution, but overall if you have the same academic, you know, performance, your chances are great that you're going to get into at least one.
Sure.
So that's one thing. It's certainly the cost has gone up. I mean, we could talk for hours about the whys of why tuition has gone up by so much. But when I went to college, it was possible to take out modest loans, have a job, and put yourself through school.
Yeah.
Without any help from your parents. Now, I was fortunate, I did have some help from my parents, but I had a lot of friends who put themselves through school, and that was doable. And that is very, very difficult now. It's not impossible, but it's much more difficult to do. So I think there is just a lot more conversation about student loan debt now, because while a lot of people took out loans when I went to college. It wasn't that much, and it was, you know, very doable to pay back. So I think that is, I think that's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's really changed.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Am I missing any? How would you answer that question?
Well, yeah, like you, I went to college a long time ago, and a lot has changed. I was the first student or first person in my extended family to go to college. So I really went in totally oblivious, had no concept of cost, loan, put the paper in front of me. I signed it. I just went to college because that's what my friends were doing. And so I think it's become, to contrast from that, I think it's become so much more heightened, right? The expectations are higher, both on the student and the family, and the expectations of the colleges are much, are much higher now. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, right? It's, mm-hmm. This is not a decision to be taken lightly. It's, even with my own daughter, as we're starting to plan ahead for next year, I mean, it's the first thing that anybody asks her, and she's already, sick of talking about it to some degree. It's such a focus. There's so much emphasis on it, and, so much scrutiny. It's such a, such a big purchase that it, gets all the scrutiny that comes along with that. And there are more marketing, more advertising, more mm-hmm. money spent on recruiting students. So it just feels like a different, almost a totally different animal now than it was back then, which was a little more passive, at least in my recollection. There are some colleges, pick a couple that you want right. to apply to and go,
yeah.
and maybe they'll call you on the phone and try to talk you into it. Maybe they'll send you a postcard, but I don't recall getting the bags and bags of direct mail, which, by the way, my daughter completely disregards all of them, dismisses all of them, and says they already emailed me. So that's totally.
And she ignored those too.
Right. Right. But the emphasis on the marketing and the brand building and the advertising seems, 10x what it was back then.
Yeah.
I agree. All of that leads to, I think, a little more stress on the students and the parents, in making that decision.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. The stakes seem so much higher now that it puts so much pressure on these kids. I mean, I didn't feel that anywhere near that kind of pressure about choosing a college. And I just see it now I've seen it with all my kids and their friends. They're just so much pressure around it.
So taking the question in the other direction, from your seat in enrollment management, thinking about the future, what are some things that, you see on the horizon, maybe changes coming to how, colleges present themselves to students, how they recruit students, how they market, to just to the enrollment management function and discipline in general. Any thoughts about the future?
Well, I hope we're all getting smarter about how to target the right students. I think there was a period of time when my oldest daughter went to college 11 years ago. And so when she was getting information from colleges, she was just getting so much information from these random colleges around the US. And I would think, why are you spending your money?
Yeah.
On sending things to someone in Illinois, it just doesn't make any sense. So I think that we have a lot of tools that allow us to better target prospective students based on historical modeling of the students who have come to our institutions. And so it allows us to really better focus on the students who are likely to be a good fit and likely to be interested and likely to have the academic qualifications. Certainly, digital marketing allows us to target them very much more narrowly as well. So I think that's something that will continue is institutions just getting much more focused on trying to target the right students. I think there's just more and more pressure on institutions to around affordability.
Yeah.
And so I think that there will just be continued focus to try to meet more financial need of students for institutions that have the means to do that.
Yeah.
And then I think just a focus on not only a focus on value of the individual institution, but I think we all need to step up our game in terms of talking about just the value of the higher education in general, and particularly now with companies offering certificates, so that and presenting those as an alternative to college. I think we have to do a better job of talking about why a college degree matters. And what we say at AU is that with an AU degree, you'll not only get your first job, but you'll get your first promotion. And that's the difference, because beyond what you learn in the classes that you go to, what a college degree does is help you with all those other skills. It helps you with critical thinking, with problem solving, working with other people to problem solve. And those are the things that you need in your second job. Those are the things that you need as you move up the ladder that you may not need if you just want to do computer, and I don't mean just do computer programming, because I don't know how to do it. So like, I don't mean to minimize it, but so I think that's where we need to have the conversations around, you know, what are the skills that you learn in college and by getting a college degree. And you don't have to live on campus. You don't have to live in a dorm to get those things. It's being around the other students in the classroom. It's navigating college. It's working with the Career Center to build your skills so that you are better, you know, you have a better sense of the jobs that are out there and are able to interview for them. So I hope that's where more of the conversation is going to focus, is why should you go to college?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are some great points. You know, interesting to think about, you know, college versus, you know, a certificate program or a kind of on the job skill. Also, you know, a great commercial for the liberal arts, right? I'm a big fan of a liberal arts education for many of the reasons that you outlined, right? It's not always in the, you know, completely practical hands-on job skill, right? It's about how you communicate and how you write and how you read and understand things. And I think all of those are great points, underscoring the value of college education and in particular, a liberal arts college education.
And those are the skills that employers are telling us that they need in employees, and that they're not, you know, they're not necessarily seeing in all of the college graduates that they're hiring. So that's a real focus at AU, is how do we help people understand the value of those things, but also how do we do a better job of educating students in those, you know, what we used to call soft skills. I guess they still are soft skills.
thank you. Interesting. Early in the conversation, you mentioned Aurora is an HSI, Hispanic Serving Institution. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a Hispanic serving institution?
It means that a large percentage, and I don't remember the cutoff, but a large percentage of our student population is Hispanic. It's a federal government designation.
Okay.
And so, as I said, because of the area that we serve, we draw a Hispanic, heavily Hispanic population.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Last question, and you sort of already spoke to this, but in your opinion, as a parent, as a higher ed administrator, is college still worth it?
Absolutely. College is still worth it. It's not worth, you know, taking $100,000 worth of student loan debt worth it for undergrad. If you're going to be a doctor, that's still worth it. Absolutely. Sure. Lawyer. Yep. Do it. But college is still worth it. There are ways to get through college, be successful, get a good job, get a great degree, great education, without taking on a tremendous, you know, tremendous amount of debt that you can't repay. And a college education will not only get you your first job, it will get you longer term career success in terms of moving up in a way that, that, you know, most people won't be able to do without a college education.
Couldn't agree more. Well, thank you, Deb. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you joining me today. So thank you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Take care.
This podcast is brought to you by Ardeo Education Solutions. Ardeo Education Solutions provides loan repayment assistance programs, known as LRAPs, to increase access and enrollment at higher ed institutions. Ardeo's LRAPs help graduates with modest incomes repay their federal student, Parent Plus, and private alternative loans. The powerful promise they provide gives students the confidence they need to enroll. To learn more about Ardeo, visit us on the web at ardeo.org.